You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Morning, and thank you for joining us out at Grace Chapel for our Sunday morning service out at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, we just come before you today, and we thank you for this opportunity for all of us to gather so that we may fellowship and we may worship, Lord. Open our understanding, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our hearts so we may receive your word. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Every new morning is a revival. And for me, an attitude adjustment, because I don't always wake up in the best of shape. But, you know, the Lord is good, and he meets us each new day with new grace. And I believe Scripture says, I blanked on that, so I'm going to keep going. It says his grace and mercy is new each day, and we need it anew and afresh each and every day. Amen. And he's faithful to meet us. And he's faithful to do work in our lives when we need it. And sometimes we need it more than others, but we always need him. Amen. And sometimes in me it doesn't look that pretty, but I guarantee you I praise the Lord. He's good to me, and my testimony is going to be that whether I live is for the Lord, whether I die is for the Lord, and I am the Lord's, to quote Paul, I believe, in Romans. And, you know, I get to tell other people about how good he is. And that's going to be my testimony of him, regardless. Because he sent his son while we were yet enemies, to die on that cross in my place so that I may be raised with him in eternity. It just doesn't get any better than that. That's a sweet deal. The deal is not based on what I deserve, because I can tell you right now, what I deserve ain't pretty. But there again, his grace and his mercy triumph over all that, all my mistakes, all my idiocy, all my failure to trust him. It's been a privilege and an honor to spend this time out here with y'all. And fellowship. Been a good week. And let's just take what we've gotten here home with us, those that are leaving. And proclaim the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work. For anyone who will receive it, he is at hand. Cry out unto the Lord. He will in no wise reject you. That's it. I'm done.
With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, all my debts were
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, I will say it's been a wonderful conference. You know, I know at the end of the other day, I'm physically beat. But it's been a joy to be here. And I would say for me, it's one of the most joyful conferences I've been in. And I know what the Lord was showing me on this is, you know, I've been busy all week and doing physical stuff, among other things, and it's a joy to serve. And it's learning that joy, learning that there is joy in servitude. And that's something new for me. And I know it's something that I have struggled with my whole life. Because part of servitude is part of submission. You know, submitting yourself to others and serving others. And, you know, I see the joy that, I will say, I see greater joy now in everyone in their service out here. And, you know, first few years, it was kind of rough. People had attitudes, myself included. But I see that slowly being shed from people. I see that being taken from people. And I know that as that's taken from people, we're going to see that body of Christ knit together closer and closer and closer, and we will become in line and speak the same things. And part of that is just shedding that old man. So anyway, this morning, you know, I always enjoy preaching because I sit there and go, oh my God, what am I going to say? And I really realize that as I have nothing to say. What does the Lord have for me to say? So, anyway, I was praying. This is what it came up to. Luke 17. Now, I know one thing that the whole theme of this conference really has been not leaning into our own faith, but leaning into the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you really think about that, we know that the church is the body of Christ. If the church is the body of Christ, then those in the church are part of that body. Their faith has to be the faith of Christ because the church is the body of Christ. And that makes sense. It's amazing how the Lord takes something and he hides it in plain sight, and yet man in his wisdom, myself included, overlooks that because we try to make it something other than it is. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. It's all about his faith. It's all about him from the beginning to the end. It says he is the author and finisher of our faith, and that faith we know is perfected because his faith is perfected. So anyway, we go to Luke 17. Start chapter 1, or verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he was cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I always looked at that. I look at that, and I say, you know, I remember when I accepted the Lord. Now, I was raised in an Episcopal church, and so, you know, it's all about ritual. You know, it's all about ceremony, okay? I wasn't raised in a Baptist or a Methodist or any other one, so your whole focus is really that ritual. So I wasn't really churched, so to speak. But I look out there and I see churches, you know, let's say the Baptist church or whatever. You know, we accept Jesus Christ. We're full of faith in him. We accept his faith and we walk forward. We know that we can do everything. You know, and, you know, I remember that joy. I remember that. It was wonderful. It lasted for a very long time. But when you start looking at churches, what do the churches do? They start adding conditions to your faith and, you know, conditions to your walk. And they draw you away from that faith that Jesus gave us, and they draw you into your own faith that if you do these things, you will be saved. And as part of that body, you know, as you do those things, or as they add these weights or these millstones or this weight about you, they pull you out of the body. See, it talks about, there's that song, we have to get back to the heart of worship. You know, we have to get back to the fundamentals of the gospel, that it's about what Jesus did. It's about his sacrifice. It's about his faith. And I know that as we go out in the world, our mission, if we encounter those who are churched, is to bring them back to that point and help pull those weights and those burdens that have been placed upon them, so they can understand that they're not theirs and that they have to get back to that gospel and get back to that faith of Jesus Christ. And, of course, I struggle with that. I look at myself, and I know no one else in here does. You know, we struggle with this. I struggle with this stuff. And if you look, I know the Lord takes our experiences and allows us to use our experiences to help others. You know, I look at my life and I can say, oh yeah, I've done that. I understand. I get it. But I also know that Jesus Christ has delivered me from that, and I know that Jesus Christ will deliver you from that too. And part of our walk, I know we come from a diversity of lifestyles. Okay, I was more the hippish style, I guess. Hippie. Okay, I was a druggie. All right, let's face it. Okay. I get the draw that drugs have to a person and to draw them into that darkness. I get it. The Lord's going to be gives that. I can take that, what I've had in my past, to help someone, to show someone that the Lord can deliver you of that. And I know church people can go out and, sorry, I was looking at Ricky there. Church people can go out and say, you know, I live that lifestyle. I get it. The Lord showed me and delivered me out of that. I can't say that. Okay, but I can relate to the guy who, in my case, hallucinogenics. I can relate to that. And the thing that we go back to is that, you know, we see these people accept the Lord, or we see these people who are in this darkness. Our job is to sit there and to preach the gospel and to assure them and to confirm that the Lord can and will deliver them out of this. You know, we look at a world out here and you look at the burdens placed on from the government on down. The Lord didn't give us those burdens to bear because he knows that those burdens would collapse us. Those burdens would break us and destroy us. But that's what the world wants. We have to go out and pull those burdens off those people, or allow the Lord, show them that the Lord can pull those burdens off of them and that they can be free. You know, I look out and I see the darkness. I mean, every time I look out, it's darker and darker and darker. And that's my fault. You know, it says we're supposed to be a bright and shining light. If it's dark, it's my fault. I'm not being bright enough for men to see the joy of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. I'm at fault. You know, Scott was talking the other day about being in Home Depot. I'm sitting there cringing because I had it more about one time. You know, we have this thing. We have to be able to willing to step out in the faith of the Lord, that when the Lord gives you something, that the Lord wants us to speak that thing. I know a lot of times when you're dealing with people, you're thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm, you know, a wacko. Well, they already think I'm a wacko. And face it, what do you care? Amen. You know? I mean, a lot of when you run out in people in the world, you may never see them again. What do you care what they think? Your hope is that what you say, you see them again and again and again because they're brought into the body. I'm going to go to 3 here. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass again against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. See, we learned this week, you know, the apostle said, increase our faith. Our faith is to be the Lord's faith. See, I know absolutely if the Lord said, you know, pluck up that sycamore tree, it would be plucked up, no questions asked. Because I know that he can do that. Now, I look at myself and I say, God, my God, I mean, I don't have the faith to raise a flea. But see, that goes back to me. Our faith needs to be on what he can do, because it's his faith that we lean into. It says, lean not into our own understanding. The same as our faith. We lean not into our own faith. We cleave to his. We lean into his faith. Because we know by his faith he framed the worlds. We know by his faith he created all things. His faith is perfect. His faith never wavers. Mine does. It wavers time and time and time and time again. I mean, it gets to that point where I've gone through times in my life, and I think, like Steve was saying, oh my God, I'm a seed of perdition, and I'm going to hell, and all is lost. And unfortunately for myself, I've allowed myself at times to stay in that for years. But I know, looking back, it was the Lord's faith that sustained me through that whole time. And we talk about prayer. You know, we talk about prayer kind of recharging the battery, or praising the Lord, recharging the battery. You know, this battery, and it's tied to the faith that you walk in. The Lord was showing me, you know, there are times where I've gone through my life where, you know, frankly, long times, where I don't want to pray. I don't want to read. You know, I'm pisseth off. Okay, I'm using biblical terms here. And the Lord was showing me, I mean, as you go into this thing, your battery starts draining, as Brother Dave would say. Your battery starts draining. But what the Lord had shown me on this is that when we pray for others, when they're in that position, we're helping keep their battery charged. We're taking what we have from our battery, and we're kind of connecting them in series or parallel. I'm not an electrician. Whatever works the best. You know, we're helping keeping that battery alive and helping keep them to go through this. You know, to go through that darkness or go through that period when all they can do is to speak the name of Jesus. See, our job as a body is to look at and to see our brothers and our sisters when they're in that position, to pray for them. Because they need that power and that light to get through that period. When I look at myself, I'm pathetic at that. You know, because it's all about me. I think Scott was saying something about that earlier. And, you know, if we are a body and a person's going through that whole period of time, that darkness, you know, think of it as a wound. You know, when you get a wound, you know, doesn't usually look very good, and I won't describe it, but it usually doesn't look very good. And the other parts of that body come together to help fight that infection and help fight that wound. See, our prayer is like fighting that wound for that individual. Our prayer is the white blood cells that rush to the wound and help fight that. You know, we're being brought together as a body. And being brought to that body means that we have to walk and think as Jesus walked. And to do that, we have to lean into his faith and his understanding. And also recognize that our job is to love one another and learn to forgive. Now, I remember years ago, my dad had a dog, okay? It was a little scrappy dog he found on the street or was given to him, and he named the dog Charlie. Okay, and he says, yeah, this dog Charlie, he goes, he really holds an attitude. You know, you piss him off, pisseth him off, he'll hold it against you. And I was at my dad's house, and the Lord said, yeah, you're like that dog. And so I was like, damn, that was fitting. Charlie the dog. You know, we have to get past that. You know, those attitudes and those hostilities and those anger and anything that we hold against one another, and also hold against those on the outside, are not helpful. I mean, they'll fester, they'll grow, and they'll turn you away, they'll turn you bitter. I've seen it time and time and time again in this ministry. I can't count the number of people I've seen come and go, and how long I've been here, like 24 years now? 23 years? Yeah, 23 years. We've seen hundreds of people come. Let's not be one of them, but let's be a receiving body that can learn to be as a Samaritan and heal the wounds and take care of that. You know, because when you look at that, you know, the Good Samaritan, he takes them into a hotel. And the Lord showed me something about this hotel. You know, he gives to the innkeeper and he says, take care of them and I'll repay when I return. It was an interesting thing when I saw this because, you know, that hotel really is the body of Christ. That hotel is you're brought into that body, the Lord patches you up, or the people in the hotel or the motel or whatever it is, or the inn, patch you up. See, you don't leave that hotel. You should not want to leave that hotel, but once you get healed and once you get fixed or healed, see, they need other people to do the same who work in that hotel. Am I making sense? You know, all of a sudden, you know, you come in, next thing you know, you're the doorkeeper. Next thing you know, you're the maid. Because the Lord's not going to stop bringing those people into that hotel. But he needs people in that hotel to take care of those he brings in. And see, that's part of that love and part of that service that we have to learn to do. They're going to have attitudes because, frankly, you're out in the world and you get beat up, you get torn up by the wolves and everything like that. You're going to have an attitude. You're going to have a lot of baggage on you. But as we serve in that inn or that hotel, eventually, that person who was brought in on the stretcher will become part of that staff and help others when they come in. And that's what the body does. That inn is the body. That inn is where we get healed and become whole. And as this body grows, we have to be willing and able to do that. For me, it's against my nature. I mean, I'm kind of like Scott. It's all about me. You know, sorry, Scott. You know, let's go forth. Let's go forth and be that perfect body, to be that perfect man. Because the only way that light can be brought into the world and seen is if we do that. It won't be seen any other way. It's not out there that I've ever seen. And you're seeing it get darker and darker all over the world. I mean, I look at Europe. With the current invasion of Europe, called refugees, it's going to get very, very dark there. And they're trying to do the same here, but the only way to drive that darkness out is for us to be that light.
Good word. Jesus is good. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times I think back of the opportunities that I missed to accept Jesus Christ. Many times when I was younger, I could have accepted the Lord. But it probably wouldn't have done any good if I had. Because I had to get to a point and to a place in my life where I had a choice of laying it down and dying for Christ or just laying down and dying. I think back to the Old Testament and I think about how many years some of those people lived. You had 900 years, was it 935 years, I believe, from Methuselah? Well, okay, I stand corrected. If you had that much time on this earth, could you get it downright perfect? We can't be perfect. This flesh won't allow you to be perfect. But He is perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect. And we can believe in Him. We can rely on Him. We can trust Him. And we can have faith in Him. Charlie was talking about the light of the world. You know, we are to be the light of the world. Could you imagine if each and every person who was a true Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ actually glowed? That'd be a strange sight at nighttime, wouldn't it? But it would also not require somebody else to have faith. And that right there would build inequity in ourselves, because when we walk by a mirror, we'd be like, I'm glowing good today. Wouldn't we? It would tear us down. It would cause us to fall into ourselves, and we can't be into ourselves. We have to be in Jesus Christ. Because we cannot help others in the world. We cannot give our testimony to others in the world unless Jesus Christ is supporting us. And we can't think about what we say and what it's going to do for somebody else. We don't worry about that. We deliver what the Lord gives us to somebody else and we walk away. There's hundreds, maybe thousands, who have actually heard all these sermons and testimonies over the years. Like Charlie said, many of them you never see again. But you never know. And you can't judge that they didn't get it right. You never know. Because they may have gone 2 days away from talking to you and got killed in a car accident. Or they could have rejected it. But it's not up to us. We deliver that word, whether it's your testimony, whether it's something from the Bible, a verse from the Bible, we deliver it. Then it's up to that person and the Holy Spirit as to what they do with it. And what they do with it has nothing to do with us. We are to go out there and do it again. And again. And again. For Jesus Christ. Not for ourselves. If I had 800 years to live, I would probably still get it wrong at times. We have to go out there and we have to practice. We have to listen, as we talked about in the conference. We have to listen so we know when the Lord is directing us to talk to a specific person. Because like what happened with Scott and us that day when we were at Home Depot. That was it. That man had prayed. If you ignore those urges, if you ignore the direction, then you don't love and you're not spreading the love of Jesus Christ. To spread that love, you have to share the gospel. You have to be able and be willing to put yourself out there. You can't worry about what somebody else is going to think, what somebody else is going to do, or whether or not that person will reject you or not. You have to step out in Jesus Christ's faith. You have to give out Jesus Christ's grace. And you have to be willing to give others the mercy of Jesus Christ through your own actions and words. Amen.
Let's have a song.
A couple things that we have to accomplish yet, and we have some people leaving, so I'm going to interrupt here for a moment. First of all, I just want to, just in completing a couple thoughts that Charlie and Bob were talking about. If you read the rest of Luke 17, they're the next few verses, the disciples said, increase our faith, right? And what did he talk about? Serving. See, what happens is when your mind is continuously about service unto others, then the unction, Davey talked about it as being an unction, okay? Like, you know what the unction is? You see something to do. You see something to do and you do it. And when you see something to do and you do it, and God is with you, your confidence in the faith of Christ, which he put in you, grows. And as that confidence in the faith of Christ, which he put in you, grows, you have more confidence and you keep going. You see another thing and you see another thing and you see another thing. Jesus was the perfect example and he was very busy, was he not? And yet he did not a single work of his own. See, the reason why darkness prevails upon people is we're trying to do it in our own faith. We're trying to do it in our own love. And we don't even realize that in so doing, we're really trying to glorify ourselves and not Christ. And it never works, never will work, and it's done. Over. This convention, this is the first day of the week after our convention, amen? Leave that behind. Leave it behind. Don't walk out the door without leaving all that nonsense, all of that stupid nonsense behind. Just leave it behind. And if you find yourself walking in it again, repent. Put it off. Go forward in that faith of Christ. Why do we need his mercies to be new every morning? because we've done enough of the other during the night and the day before that we can't do anything about. So we need that mercy anew. And when we minister unto people, look, it's the sin that besets us so easily. It's the same thing that besets them. You don't have to have been a person who did hallucinogenics. You don't have to be a person who did everything to be able to minister to the person in front of you. Because when you interact with the light of God and you see the darkness that is you and how common it is on everybody else, you can minister to them because you've had to pass through it yourself. You've had to pass through it. So I want you to go forward in confidence that way. Now, we got somebody here who the Lord wants to ordain. Brad, stand up. We already know he's not deserving, so I'm not going to ask him anything about that. Brad, you know you're not deserving? I know, but I'm going to show you something. 1 Corinthians 7:17. And here's God saying but, and when God says but, it's a good thing. See, like after he read on the riot act, when he came to him in the little chamber there where they were all locked up, oh my God, they might come get us, our Savior's dead, what are we going to do? And after upbraiding them for their hardness of heart and unbelief, what did he do? He ordained them. Wow. They weren't deserving either. So 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Brad, this week, have you heard that word, that faith of Christ? Okay, see, he doesn't have faith in you in the sense that he thinks, well, Brad can do it. He has faith because you've heard he puts his faith in you. And his confidence is in that faith he's put in you. Amen? And in that, when you receive it, now you go forward in it. And so we're going to ordain you. Come on up here. Now, as you stand here a moment before everybody, I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Rick, David, do you want this? Okay. We're going to pray for you here, Brad. And Paul says to Timothy, and I wanted to show this for everybody to see, because I want you to keep this in mind. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You need all three of those things to minister. Amen? Things are going to try and come against you and try to say that that has not been put in you. You're going to put them off, man. You're not going to accept that nonsense. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's that part that Richard's talked to you about standing. When you hear that which is contrary, be not ashamed. Stand for the sake of the people who are in error, that they may not be in error. Amen? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That part, see, part of that is afflictions, is people don't like the truth. And people may not speak well of you if you love the truth and share it. Are you willing to partake of those afflictions? Praise God. Now watch this. And he says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You ready to leave your works behind? We pretty much know that there was nothing good about any of those works, don't we? It's time to leave them behind. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now that holy calling, I mean, that is, God is separate. Was Jesus like the world? No. And that in that holy calling, you are not like the world. You can be perfect in that holy calling, notwithstanding this thing, because the very nature of your flesh, which everybody can see and shows that you're just like them, okay, God's grace, which is what saves them, is manifested. So you don't have to hide that, like you were taught in every other place you've ever been, that you got to somehow pretend to be something you are not. You don't have to. And what happens is the people who want a hope, who are looking for a way out, will see in you the way out. They'll see in you the way out. And that's what you want to do, is you want to show them the way out. So hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, with Timothy, he says, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And that's because Timothy, like Paul, was an elect seed of God. But you're a member of that body of Christ, right? Right. And so he has a purpose, as a member of his body, he has a purpose and a grace that's given unto you to do in that hotel, as Charlie was talking about it. You prepared to do it? I got it. Paul, Philip. Now, you know this guy, Philip, over here. And the Lord set you to be a help to him in these ministry down there in South Carolina. You listen to him. It's a good thing for you. Amen. Well, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that that unction of your Spirit would come upon Brad in your power and in your might and in your love, and that sound mind that will enable him to go forward in you. We just pray, Lord, may that come upon him right now, and may you raise him up to take that place in your body you've called him to, and to be an example unto the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a cheer, everybody. Now we can have a song. Amen.
Well, I was from God. Fair enough. Awesome God. Let's end with Bon Jovi. Ricky, play a little bit more with the guitar. Okay.
Brother Davey, I know we're close to the top of the hour, but there was something I feel led to do, and I wanted to ask you if we want to just do it over the air or after.
Go ahead, do it.
All right. You know, this week we've been talking about receiving that faith of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe everybody here has stuck around because that's what they've wanted to receive. And what I'd like to do is for those who want, if you want to come on up here, I'd like to pray with you and put this anointing on you as a confirmation to you, each of you, that you have received that this day and that you're going to go forward in that and a commitment on your part. So anybody who wants it, come on down and we'll pray. And for the ministers and for others, look, this is really a renewing of that unction. It's our batteries being recharged.
Amen.
Amen. To go forward in that service. Amen.
Amen.
I just, I hadn't been, I'd been hesitant the other night. People were wondering why I didn't say. I was like, something was going on, and it was about whether to have some kind of an altar call. And praise God, I don't think it was time. But today, I mean, look, this is our new life. It's a new life. I don't care what the old life looked like. This is a new life, a new beginning for each of us. Let's let the old life become strangely dim, and let's go forward in that new life that he's given us. Amen?
Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.